Hey, Martin.
Hey.
Happy episode 200 of the Nerdy Legion podcast.
With Nick Wetmore.
With Martin Ferretti.
Nope. Wrong show. Hey, yes, it is our big 200. And let me tell you, Nick.
Yes.
What other podcast do you know that out of the blue decides to use a four-year-old hashtag as their anniversary hashtag without even knowing?
We're pretty special. We're in elite air.
We're something.
Yeah.
We're something.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Not only is it the 200th episode of the show, but it is also the 204th birthday of the Netherlands.
Happy birthday, Netherlands.
Happy birthday, Netherlands. man, oh man, oh man.
We know how to pick them.
We know, yes.
Just like mom jeans and boy shorts.
It's true. Right. You know, not only is it our 200th episode, we should have, like, skipped recording. Here's the problem. This podcast is too regular. Because had we waited 5 more weeks, we could have also been celebrating our 4th year of this podcast.
Oh, dang it.
Episode 1 of the Nerdy Legion podcast came out August 8th, 2015.
Oh, man.
Can you believe it? It's insane.
I remember that closet was very hot for you. And it makes sense because it was August.
It was so hot in the closet.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm no longer in the closet.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Did you have a couple drinky poos loosen you up?
I just started.
Just started? What?
Well, dude, I just got back from seeing Toy Story. What do you mean, a drink at the movie theater with my kids?
Heck yeah. Come on.
How long
did you fall asleep during it?
I didn't. It was actually quite good.
Oh, good. I like Toy Story.
Yeah, it was good. There was a nice twist at the end with the villain.
Oh.
Yeah, very good.
Was there any after credit scenes?
Yeah, there's a few, actually.
Was there supposed to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's like 3 or 4 scenes after the credits roll.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the bloopers from, what was it, the first?
Nope.
Didn't the first one or the second one do bloopers?
No, something happens at the end with one of the main characters. And then the after credit scenes are like what the repercussions of the action are. Very good.
Very neat.
Yeah.
Was it pretty packed?
No, not really.
Ah.
Not really. There's 2 new characters in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bunny, what is it? Duck and Bunny, I think they're called. They meet these characters at a carnival. They're like prize toys that you win from the carnival games. And,
sure.
And they're attached to the hands, like their hands are sewn together.
So, oh, that's funny.
So they go everywhere together, and it's hilarious.
That's good.
It's hilarious. Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
So did this become either of your daughter's favorite movie of the year?
No.
Out positioning Shazam, of course?
Nope, Shazam is still number 1.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Good, good.
So I want to kick off this episode.
This
huge milestone for this podcast.
Happy birthday, Netherlands.
By the way, we finally broke 6,000 listeners. Welcome.
Oh, just in the Netherlands alone?
I wish. I wish. Maybe after this hashtag. But we have a bunch of questions that we're going to run through.
Uh-oh.
But first, I received a message. And I want to read it.
Feel free. The floor is yours.
Because this message is addressed directly to you. Not really. It's actually addressed to both of us. But I played it off like it's addressed to you. The message goes, NL200 is coming up, and your boy hasn't made an appearance in like 100-plus episodes. Hashtag, what up with that? On a serious note, we need Nick on a steady anime diet. His weeb isn't the standard yet. Happy 200th anniversary. Pretty sure that's how that works. And that is, of course, from the Dreamboat himself, Julian Ferretti.
No. Oh, he had to make an appearance somehow. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Julian, you're always welcome, mm-hmm. as he well knows.
So, I told him, I was like, dude, I'm taking off all of July. Just get with Nick and record an episode with him.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah. So that was for you, Nick.
Oh, I like it.
I know you appreciate the Julian.
Yes,
as we always. As we like to call him, the best for Ready.
He is the best for Ready.
It's true. He is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very glad that hashtag NL200 is from last year because it made it easier to sort out these questions.
And we got a lot of congratulations just piggybacking off of that.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, people often talk about the fact that this used to be a comic book podcast.
Mm.
And and it's no longer a comic book podcast.
How many questions were comic book centric? Probably
zero, I think.
Oh man.
But you know, we like to talk about our con experiences when we have them. So sure. Our first question is going to be about our con experiences. Long time listener, first time caller. My question is: at cons, besides hanging out with friends, what is your favorite thing to do / see?
Do you have who wrote the question?
Yes.
We should be giving these people props, of course.
I mean, I guess. Do we have to?
Who doesn't like a shout-out? I like a shout-out. Who doesn't like a shout-out?
This is from the Baron.
Oh, Ronnie Baron. Do you want to answer first?
No, by all means. It's your show. You go first.
I love at a con. Well, there's pre-Nerdy Legion. And then there's post-Nerdy Legion. Mm. Post-Nerdy Legion, of course, is, you know, hanging out with people. But I've really developed a love for the panels, going to the panels.
Yeah,
thoroughly enjoy those.
Mm-hmm.
Where before I wouldn't even pay attention to the panels all that much.
Really?
Yeah, I just never – well, don't forget. I mean, the new way of looking at a con is through an app. And pre-apps, I never grabbed one of those, like, brochures, so I never even knew where the panels would be in and what time. Mm. I wouldn't even look at that. I'd have no interest in that. So pre-Nerdy Legion, pre-apps, my favorite thing was, of course, Artist Alley, or diving into the boxes, usually with a buddy. Usually I had a pad of paper that had all the numbers of issues that I was missing, and then I would take my trusty pen and scratch out those and fill them out that way. It was fantastic to feel the completion of a series once you – ooh, Shade the Changing Man. It's all done. Look at that. I finally got issue 34.
Mm.
It feels so good.
See, that's interesting. So mine is actually the opposite.
Ooh.
So I've always been a fan of attending panels. I mean, not all the panels, obviously, right? Like, certain panels. But once I started doing podcasts, I actually enjoyed talking to creators more. For a long time, what I would do was just find, like, the – this is kind of weird. I don't know how else to phrase it. But, like, the biggest no-name person in Artist Alley,
mm-hmm.
and just, like, go hang out.
Ah, nice.
And get commissions, stuff like that. But then after a while, I'm just like, I just want to talk to everybody. Which is, of course, not the best way to do it, because then you have an experience like C2E2 2019, in which I only did, like, 4 of 30 aisles in Artist Alley, because I just spent a lot of time talking to, like, individual people.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
So I need to find a better balance.
With certain creators, and it doesn't even matter their popularity, I still get a little starstruck and tongue-tied. So to hide behind a Ronnie Baron or a Gundy and have them interact, that's plenty for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to use it as an exercise in podcasting, for example. When I talk to these people, it's not like, hey, I want to talk to all the creators and get them on the show to talk to them. That's not my goal. My goal is to, like, learn what these people are about. Besides just comics, right? Because, like, if you see, if you have, like, a big name creator, let's say, like, what, Matt Fraction's at a con, okay? Matt Fraction is used to a certain level of interaction with fans, right? Because he's a big name. Whereas somebody that's a smaller name, let's just say, like, Eric Palicki, for example, he's going to have different interactions with fans, right? He's not going to have maybe as many go into his booth. And I don't want to single you out, Eric, but I'm singling you out. Because I had a good interaction with Eric at C2E2.
Mm-hmm.
So the level of interaction is different. And so I like to talk to everybody just to see, like, how different people react to different types of interactions. Because I'm pretty sure, like, someone like Matt Fraction or, like, Chris Claremont, for example, like, they get sick and tired of being like, oh, I love your Hawkeye. Oh, I love your X-Men run.
Sure.
Right? They might want to hear, like, hey, why is Kit Kat the best candy bar? You know? So, like, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
And I understand that, like, people go to cons to meet these people and, like, thank them for what they did or have books signed or whatever. And that's cool. But, you know, they're people. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I go to a con and I meet somebody that listens to this show, I don't want to just talk about how great the Nerd Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore is. You know what I mean? Like, I want to talk about bullshit because that's what I do on the show.
I like it.
So,
see, I get like, I guess I get tongue-tied in the fact that when I look behind me and there's a line, I feel like, all right, I got to move this along. Just cut it short, have him sign the thing, get the hell out of his face, because he's got a line going. But I'm sure from Matt Fraction's point of view is just like, there's always going to be a line. It doesn't matter if you stand there for 5 minutes or 50 seconds. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a line waiting behind you.
Yep. And you might not be able to tell from the way that I chit-chat on this show or some other podcast, but I've always been like a very reserved, introverted person. And so, of course, that doesn't come out on the show because it's like, you know, when people on Twitter are like bashing on a book or a creator, like that's very easy to do on Twitter or Facebook because like nobody knows who the fuck you are. You know what I mean? You're just like some faceless person on the internet. So on the podcast, it's kind of like the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I can say whatever. No one's good. I mean, they can judge me, but I don't care because I don't know you. But I think it's a good, I like to put myself in situations that are slightly uncomfortable so that I can figure out a way to make it comfortable the next time.
I like that.
So that's why I just like to spend some time with creators and talk to them. And you can like judge if they're interested or not pretty quickly. You know what I mean? At least I can. Some people just have no sense of anything. But I can judge pretty quickly, you know, and I'll try a few different topics. And if none of them hit, I'm like, all right, see you later. Go to the next booth.
See, I've worked a table at a con, a few cons for my own stuff. In my head, I understand it's a full weekend. You're exhausted by the end of it. Because you're there to engage. And I see so many professionals that are just sitting down, they're uber passive. And it's just like, dude, I get Matt Fraction. He doesn't have to sell his book. But like any independent person should be up and engaging anyone that's walking by trying to get eyes on their book. And I don't understand when they're just like closed off unless they're doing, you know, a sketch or something that they have to do. That I totally understand. But if you're just sitting there like hawking your wares, that's the part that I'm like, I don't even know if I should engage you because it doesn't even look like you want to be engaged. So I'll just move on because guess what? Two tables down from that person, there'll be somebody that's like, hey, I'm very passionate. Check out my book, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. And the thing is, I'm more willing to interact with those kind of people, right, and buy their books if they're engaging that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, I mean, like, yeah, if you're a no-name, obviously you want to hawk your wares. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should want to. You spend a lot of money on the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, some of those guys are, you know, maybe a little too much. A little too salesman. You know?
Sure. Yes. There's a fine line.
There is a very fine line. Like, there's a thing about being excited about what you're working on, and there's a very fine line crossing into, all you're trying to do is get me to buy your stuff. And I get it. Like, you, of course you want me to buy your stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, if that's the attitude that you have, chances are, not going to buy your stuff, bro.
Right.
Or sis.
But if it's a Thursday or Friday, the first day of a con, and you're, like, completely disconnected from people walking by your table, then guess what? Those people should just walk by your table.
Yeah.
Like, on Sunday afternoon, I get it. You might be exhausted and hungover. I understand completely. But, Geez, I'm not, as a passerby, I'm not going to sell your comic to me. You are.
Right.
So you should be putting in some sort of effort.
Yep. And, you know, I've talked about this before with, like, vendor booths. Because, like, it's one thing with a creator, right? Because you're getting, like, the FaceTime, so it might make it easier for them to interact with you and try to sell you something. But a lot of the vendor booths, like, they don't interact. Like, the only time you get interaction is when you're like, hey, can I see that Magnus Urban Fighter number one off the wall? And then they're like, yes, can I roll out the red carpet and, like, lick your feet while you're looking at it? But, and if you're just looking at, like, quarter boxes, a lot of vendors don't really interact. And I get
but
it.
But there are, but I mean, in their defense, and just like you were talking about how sales pitchy some of the creators can be, I do like when a vendor, even if they're just like, hey, let me know if you need to see anything. Like, that's all you need to say to me. Then go about your business. We don't have to interact, period, after that. But, like, I don't want the person that's completely disengaged until you're like, hey, can I see that one comic book that's up on the wall that's from a GDC that you know is uber expensive? Like, that's the time that's like, that shit's going to sell itself. Like, you don't need to put on a sales pitch then. Like, interact with everyone, damn it.
Exactly. But the thing is, if somebody's looking at a wall book, then chances are they're willing to spend more money. You know what I'm saying? So you want to interact.
Sure.
And I think that's the wrong attitude, right? You should want to interact with every customer that's at your booth.
That's why I just want, like, hey, let me know if you need anything. Hey, let me know if you're looking for anything.
Sure.
I don't want them to be like, hey, you interested in Spider-Man? Hey, I got – check out this. Like, no, I don't need that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So, but that's tough. And I get it. Like, they're seeing thousands of people over the weekend. You know what I mean? So, so it's tough, but I do like the little personal interactions. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've been doing customer service for a very long time and I know that's what customers appreciate, right? When you try to go one step above, people really appreciate that.
Yeah. They remember that.
Yeah. And I think that holds true for, at a con, at a vendor booth. You know, the booth that I bought all that art at C2E2. You know, I've been in touch with the guy afterwards. Like, he wasn't as personable as the girls were, but, like, he was still cool, and he's willing to help out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the employees there, they were the ones that roped you in, because they were helpful.
They were great.
Yeah.
They were
and
great.
I mean, I'll even go to a vendor if I know them, or I have a relationship with them, or you have a relationship with them. It's like, I'll give that vendor 10% more. Even though I know I can go right next door and find it a little cheaper, it's like, yeah, but this guy treats Martin right, so why not support that?
Right. Yeah, like when I met Chris Campbell at Heroes last year, not this year because I didn't go, but last year, and he showed me like a few of the regular vendors that he gets stuff from and introduced me to them, and we chatted a little bit. Like, now I know if I go to a con and those vendors are there, like, I'm going to spend some time there, you know what I mean? Because we have the interaction. They kind of know what I'm looking for, and that helps a little bit.
Definitely.
Good question. Another question from the Baron. Favorite last meal? Describe what the spread is down to what you're going to drink.
Jeez.
Very specific.
The last meal that I had?
No, favorite last meal. I guess, like, if you were on death row.
Oh, geez.
And they were like, hey, tomorrow you get the needle. What are you going to eat?
Wow. Holy cats.
I'm going to tell you right now, it is not Cece's Pizza.
No?
Because I received many a comment after last episode about Cece's Pizza. One person, Glenn, shout out to you. Glenn said, I've been to Cece's, I don't remember the exact message, but something like, I've been to Cece's many times, it is garbage food. CeCe should hire you guys for their marketing department.
Because
now I want CeCe's pizza.
And I saw that as well. And just like our hashtag NL2000, I'm like, why weren't we tagging CeCe's pizza in all of our conversations back and forth on Twitter about CeCe's pizza? Like, dang it, missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity, yes, yes.
But it wouldn't be CeCe's just for the sheer fact that it's all you can eat?
I mean, does that delay your execution?
Awesome.
I mean,
but also, imagine if you're going to the electric chair and you've had a belly full of CeCe's. Imagine the smell that's going to be permeating from you to everyone in that closed room.
Well,
you're leaving them a little gift.
Not just that. If you're going to an all-you-can-eat place and then you get the chair, mm-hmm. Great book, by the way. Go buy that from Alterna. You get the chair, then you're going to be throwing up all that pizza.
Right, but you're also going to be leaving things that smell horribly to everyone else once you're dead.
That's true. That's true. Man, this gin is hitting really hard, really quick.
Yeah, double it up, my friend. Come on.
I did it extra special tonight. I did 3/4 gin, 1/4 tonic.
Ooh, mate. Okay, what just for Julian, our fabulous Julian, the best for Eddie, what's the gin? What's the tonic?
The gin is, of course, no lace. Excuse me, Le Jubin.
Yeah, Le Jubin really raked you through the coals, buddy. Ooh, man, he came after you.
So last episode I was talking about Nollet's gin. Apparently, I wasn't pronouncing it pretentiously enough.
Mm.
The correct pretentious pronunciation is Nolays. So I am drinking. You know where he found this gin, by the way? So I learned about this gin from this person we're calling Le Jubin, whoever that might be.
Whoever.
I learned about this gin from this person. Do you know where he learned about this gin from?
No.
See, people talk about we don't talk enough comics. We're talking comics right now. He got it from a comic book.
Really?
Yes, apparently it was the James Bond 007 comic book from, I think, IDW?
That sounds right.
Maybe Boom. One of those two.
The one that Warren Ellis released.
Yes, one of the newer series.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know which one, but he sent me the panel so I could see it. And he makes some kind of drink. I can't remember what it was. I don't think it was a gin and tonic, but some kind of gin drink, and he requests no lays.
It wasn't a gin martini? Because isn't he a martini chicken nut stirred?
I guess it was a gin martini.
Yeah.
By the way, he requested that brand.
But so yes, that brand's been around for a while.
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's a newer comic, so I don't know.
I don't know.
But really, no. let's be serious, Nick.
Yes.
We're going to throw some commentary in here. Because, you know, when Le Jubin makes an appearance, we need to up our pretentiousness. You mentioned gin martini, and I would say that there is no such thing as a non-gin martini. There is only gin martinis.
Mm.
My wife and I had this discussion this morning because she was reading some article, and they were talking about egg omelets.
Okay.
And she's like, well, what the fuck else kind of omelet would it be? It's an egg. Like, you make omelets with eggs. So why would you say egg omelet? Which makes sense. I mean, you can make omelets from other things. But, like, are they really omelets? So, like, we went through this because I looked it up. And, like, you can make omelets from, like, tofu. You can make them with God, what was the other thing? I don't remember. Some other thing. You can make them with potatoes, but then they're just like latkes. So, like, are they really omelets? They're more like potato pancakes. I agree with my wife for once.
Ah, she wins.
She wins. Sometimes you just got to let them win.
Yeah. What's the chaser? What do you have with the gin? What's the tonic?
It's tonic, of course.
Yes.
Because that's all I drink is gin and tonics. And it is Fever Tree Tonic, introduced to me by the aforementioned dreamboat, Julian Ferretti.
Yes.
My little baby brother.
I'm going to give you my last meal before my stay of execution is going to happen.
Yes.
And this is terrible. This is terrible. I shouldn't have this, but this is what I'm going to have because it's my last meal. And I would love to say that it's pretentious, but it isn't. I would be sending out for them to bring in from Azar's Big Boy. I'd be having them bring in said Azar's Big Boy hamburger, which is their version of a Big Mac.
Oh, okay.
And then their fish sandwich, which is phenomenal. They do great onion rings, so I'd be bringing those in as well. And then I would have a chocolate Coke.
A chocolate Coke?
Yes, of course. It's my last meal. Leave me alone. And a chocolate malt, and then a piece of whatever the fresh-made pie of the day is.
Mm.
That's what I'd be doing.
So I think I would have, as my last meal, one of each meal. So I would request some bullseyes, right? So the toast with the egg cracked inside it. I would have at least two of those. I would have a Caesar salad. I don't talk about this enough, Nick.
Uh-oh.
We often talk about all the pretentious shit that I make for dinners.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something about a Caesar salad that I just love so much. And the weird thing is, I don't even like lettuce.
Wow.
But there's something about the Caesar salad. Matter of fact, we went to Copper River on Thursday. Do you guys have Copper River?
No, we don't.
All right. So we went to Copper River Thursday for my wife's birthday. My wife turned 29 for the 10th, whatever. For a long time, she's been 29.
Yeah.
I was like, where do you want to go? And she's like, let's go to Copper River. And I was like, interesting choice. All right, I'll buy. So we went there. It's nothing like super fancy. It's like a, how do I want to place Copper River? I want to say like a really fancy, what's like the next fancier thing up from Chili's?
Like Cooper Hawk type of thing?
Cooper Hawk? I don't know what that is.
Oh, well, then that's a regional for us. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It's like Cooper Hawk's one of those places that charge, unlike Chili's, they charge like for their hamburgers, it's like $6 more. They also have a wine club, that type of thing.
All right, cool. I'm on the Cooper Hawk website right now. Yes, we're going to go with that. So it's like one step above Chili's, right? So it's like Chili-style food, but more expensive and arguably better. Now, I've never been to Cooper Hawk, so I don't know. But it's Copper River. You know, the whole atmosphere is nicer, right? Like the chairs are nicer. Mm-hmm. The wait staff is much better. Whatever. So we go to Copper River and we order their food, and I'm trying to think what everyone got. So Zoe got chicken tenders and onion frites.
Oh, fancy.
Which is basically just like the French fried onions you get out of a can.
Onion strings.
Yes, except, you know, like better than a can.
Yes, of course.
Reagan got a steak and fries.
Nice.
My wife got, what did she get? She had crab stuffed flounder.
Yeah.
And then some like shrimp and crab thing.
Yeah, you're not getting this stuff at Chili's, for sure.
Right. And then I ate, I kept it simple. I did a prime rib sandwich.
Wait, what about your Caesar salad? I thought this was going to rope into your Caesar salad.
Well, yes. So you get a salad with your meal. And so I received a Caesar salad. Because that's what I get. Because, as I said, I'm not a big fan of lettuce. However, if somebody's like, hey, you have to eat a salad, I will say very well, but it cannot be garbage iceberg lettuce
Yeah.
It has to be delicious, crunchy, flavorful romaine lettuce.
Ooh. All right.
If they have red romaine, even better. But 99% of places do not have red romaine.
Right.
Matter of fact, I don't even know if you can... Can you even buy red romaine at a store? I don't think I've seen red romaine. Maybe at Whole Foods.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I think Whole Foods might have it, but outside of that, good luck. Anyways, romaine's delicious. It's crunchy. It's got like a little flavor to it. Sure. It's got a nice deep green color. So it doesn't look like you're like staring at a bowl of like chopped up chunks of plastic. You know what I mean? Like to me, that's what iceberg lettuce looks like. It's just like, let's take a Coke bottle and just like cut it into random shapes and throw it in a bowl. And we'll just like throw some green food coloring in it. That's what iceberg lettuce is. I don't like iceberg lettuce, as you can tell. But yeah. I love romaine lettuce. And the other thing I like about Caesar salad is that it's very simple.
Yeah.
All Caesar salad is romaine lettuce, Caesar dressing, croutons, Parmesan cheese. Oh. Bam!
Yep.
Can't go wrong. Yep. You know, like if you...
Well,
I mean,
there's such little ingredients that, guess what, there's nothing to hide behind. So if they're going to give you something subpar, it's going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Exactly. So, and the key to the Caesar salad is, of course, the Caesar dressing, which has to be just right.
Yeah, I'm with you. As well as the croutons.
Yeah, you got to have a good croutons.
That croutons out of a box. You got to do your own.
Got to do your own. Do you make your own croutons?
I rarely do croutons at home. So, but if I did, yeah, they would be done at home.
At the risk of cementing my pretentiousness, I always make my own croutons.
Of course
you do. I love like just fresh croutons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me knock down the pretentious a little bit. I don't always make my own bread to make my croutons.
Thank you.
Many times I will just use, you know, store-bought bread to make the croutons.
Right. Sure.
Very rarely do I make a fresh loaf of bread to make my croutons, but it has happened before.
Of course.
It has happened. But there's something about the freshness, I'm telling you. Fresh food just tastes better. Like, for example, right now, the kids are no longer allowing me to purchase frozen pizzas.
Oh.
Because when we did grocery shopping, we always bought, like, a frozen pizza, right? So if, like, my wife and I are really busy, like, no time to make anything, just throw the pizza in the oven, right?
Okay.
Well, that's thrown out the window because I made the mistake last week of making fresh pizza. And so when I went grocery shopping this weekend, I was like, hey, let's go grab a couple of pizzas. So you each pick one. And literally simultaneously, they're like, nope, we don't want frozen pizza. We want you to make pizza.
Wow.
So that ruins the whole thing.
That's got to feel good.
Well, I mean, it feels good. But the point of buying a frozen pizza is when you have no time, you throw it in the oven and 10 minutes later, you're done.
Yes.
If I make a pizza, it takes like 3 or 4 hours. So I got to plan this right now, right? So they wanted pizza tomorrow, and I forgot to buy yeast, so I can't even make pizza tomorrow. I'll make pizza Tuesday, though. But, yeah, Caesar salad is the best.
Can I, before you go on to your main course of your last meal, can I send this frozen pizza topic off into a tangent?
It's your show, bro.
Okay, because incoming question from Nick Wetmore to and it reads, happy Dirty Legion 200th episode. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. You're the best.
My question, thank you. Keep on writing in. the question that I ask of both of you, what was the most monstrous frozen pizza you've ever concocted?
The most monstrous frozen pizza I've ever concocted.
Yes.
Because
this came to me, like I forgot that I even did this. And I was having a frozen pizza discussion with a buddy. And it just sort of appeared to me like, oh my God, I did do that. Oh my God, I'm a monster. So I'm like, I have to ask Martin, what, you know, everyone has, well, back in the day, I would be doctoring up frozen pizzas left and right because frozen pizza back in the day tasted like cardboard.
Yeah.
The cheese had no flavor. The sauce had no flavor, and whatever meat topping, pretty well no flavor. But my monster concoction for a frozen pizza, I did, and it was like a Totino's. Like, it was the cheapest of the cheap. I mean, come on. This is like high school, college. And then I took that out, put that down, put on jarred sauce. And I know you're against jarred sauce, but I'm a high school kid. I don't know any better. So jarred sauce, pizza sauce, to give it a little bit more moisture. And then on top of that, before putting it into the oven, I took out a gigantic box of pizza rolls and covered the entire pizza with pizza rolls.
That sounds so good.
It was so good. It ranks up there for garbage food. It ranks up there so high. And I can't even imagine doing that with one of the quote-unquote gourmet frozen pizzas that you can buy now that actually have flavor to it, mm-hmm. as well as gourmet pizza sauces that actually have flavor to it. I couldn't even imagine putting on – because the pizza rolls became uber crunchy and, of course, full of lava within. But just the crunch factor doubled. Oh, my God. It was great.
So I got to admit, I don't think I've ever created a Franken pizza.
Really? Because I did – I even did taco pizza, adding on everything that you put onto a taco, onto a frozen pizza. Boop, right in there.
Now, I have done, like, weird shit with sandwiches.
Okay. You're more of a Franken sandwich guy.
Yeah. Like putting ravioli in sandwiches and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I've done that. You're like, oh man, I really want a sandwich, but I have no meats. What do I put in the sandwich? Let's just put random shit like ravioli in it.
Yeah, why not?
And it's actually pretty good.
Did I ever tell you about our fam? And this is generational. This is like, I'm third generation this Franken sandwich that has come down from my mom's side of the family, from her mom. And I don't know how she even incorporated it into my mom's diet, but my mom incorporated it into my diet. But it is two pieces of like cheap white bread, you know, flavorless, tasteless white bread, just cheapo. And one side, mayonnaise or Miracle Whip if you're fancy. The other side, peanut butter.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, buddy. And then lettuce on one side, bologna on the other. Fold it up, boop, right into your mouth. Throw it right into your mouth. It was so good. And my mom said the name of the sandwich, you know, growing up was a Whopper. And this was before ever even had Burger King. So when I went to high school, I did a demonstration of our Whopper sandwich to my speech class in high school. Got an A for it. And of course, everybody turned up their nose and I'm like, just try a little bit of this. I brought one for everybody. Just try. Trust me on this one. And I've yet to have a complaint. So.
That's amazing.
Yep. Third generation. That's I don't know amazing. If my brother's passed it on to his kids. I highly doubt it. They're coming here, but still.
You know, I had to ban bologna from the house.
What?
Yeah, so Zoe's been here since school ended, so like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so the first week she was here, we went to the grocery store because, like, you know, she's with Reagan all day.
Yeah.
And so we had to pick, like, food that they could eat during the day. And mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, sandwiches would be super easy. Like, let's get, like, a bunch of sandwich stuff, right? And then, like, on top of other things. But just let's get sandwich stuff. And so I'm like, what meats do you guys want? And Reagan's like, you know, like roasted chicken breast, like mm-hmm. turkey. And I'm like, all right. And I asked Zoe, and she's like, bologna.
Mm.
And let me tell you, I do love some bologna. There is very few things that are better than a fried bologna sandwich.
Hell yeah. Preach, okay? Preach.
Now, I always talk pretentious shit. Let me tell you, bologna's where it's at. And that is the garbagest of garbage deli meats.
Have you seen these like fancy like sandwich places elevating the fried bologna sandwich now?
No.
Yeah, because they like hand cut their bologna. They're not just grabbing Oscar Mayer.
Ah.
So they'll give people like an open face sandwich and they'll grill, you know, they'll fry up the bologna like every sane person should.
Of course.
But they cut like a half inch thick slab of bologna and then fry it up.
Interesting.
Yeah. And they do a little frise salad on that thing.
It's good. You get a little fried bologna, you put it on toast with some mayonnaise.
Mm. And then peanut butter on one side.
No.
Throw some lettuce in there.
I don't know about that.
And you're eating heaven right there. Oh.
Well, it's like, I don't know if you're a fan of Spam. I'm not a fan of Spam.
Hell yeah.
But let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with a little, fried Spam sandwich.
Amen.
You can get the Spam singles to go now.
What?
Yeah.
I've never seen those.
Oh yeah. It's like a pouch. You know, like those tuna pouches?
Yeah.
It's like those, but it's fucking Spam.
So you don't have to touch the grossness of the pressed meat when it comes out of the can?
No, you don't have to touch it. You just open the pouch and you just pop it on a sandwich and go.
Dang.
Genius.
Well, my wife is so health conscious. She's never tried Spam.
Whoa.
And every time I'm always like, every time like we see a commercial, she's always like, that looks really good. I'm like, it is really good. We should try that. You would like that. And she goes, that's the problem. I would like that.
All right. So, bullseyes. And then my second meal would be, I'm going to go with a nice, like, hearty beef lasagna.
Ooh, with the Caesar salad?
Yeah, with the Caesar salad. And then after that, I would have a nice thick slice of French cheesecake.
Oh. See, the only issue with your last meal, I could see the warden saying, great, we can make all that stuff in the kitchen, the jail's kitchen.
It better be good or I ain't eating it.
I'd be worried about that beef lasagna.
Yep. That's what I would want.
That sounds good. French
cheesecake is one of the few sweets that I enjoy eating.
Ooh,
nice. You know, I'm not a big fan of sweets. But there's something about French cheesecake. It's not very sweet, but it's creamy. Have you ever had French cheesecake?
I've had it a couple times. Once at a French restaurant, and I ordered thinking it was like Eli's cheesecake. Oh, no.
No.
Very different.
Very different. It is not at all like what people normally think of as a cheesecake, because people usually think of a cheesecake as like a New York cheesecake, which is very kind of dry and gritty.
For sure.
French cheesecake is creamy. It's like a very firm cream, and it is delicious.
Yes.
It is delicious. So that's what my last meal would be.
That sounds great.
It may be a can of sardines.
Where would you put? Well, I would be putting that with the Caesar.
Yeah,
the
of course.
Yeah, have your own set of add in as many sardines as possible.
Well, and that's the thing about Caesar salad. So Caesar dressing, it's made with anchovies.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, anchovies are not very fishy tasting. So even people that don't like fish like Caesar dressing.
Yep.
I have made fresh Caesar dressing. And it is delicious.
It sounds good.
It's delicious.
Because I hate when you get the Caesar dressing and you can't taste the anchovy.
Yeah, you gotta taste it. It's got like a little bit, right? Because all you want is that tang.
Yep. I'm getting hungry. I'm salivating.
Man, now I want a Caesar salad. I don't even have any Caesar dressing here.
Dang it. Well, you can make some.
I don't have anchovies.
Oh, man.
I have sardines.
In a pinch.
I guess in a pinch that might work.
Make yourself a good Whopper sandwich and throw some of that Caesar dressing.
I don't think I have like plain sardines though. I always get mustard sardines and hot sauce sardines.
Ooh.
So I'll make a big salad And then I'll do one can of mustard and one can of hot sauce sardines. Mix it all up. And then I throw like extra stuff in, like sunflower seeds, a little bit of kale, do some onions, do a little bit of Parmesan cheese. And then, I've been on this like weird Thousand Island dressing kick lately. Yeah. So like a little bit of Thousand Island dressing in there. Man, that shit is so good.
Now, can we circle back? Why did you outlaw bologna from the house?
Oh, yes. So I ask what they want. And so Reagan mentions this like super healthy meats. And then there's always like bologna. And, so I'm like, all right. So I get the chicken and the turkey and I get two packs of bologna. And literally all Zoe ate the entire week was bologna sandwiches. Nothing but.
I can't blame her though. Bologna, boy, when you have a taste for bologna, there's nothing like it.
Well, that's true. So the second week comes around and I'm like, all right, I'm like we still have some chicken, some turkey. We're out of bologna. I'm like, let's get something else for sandwiches.
Yeah.
And Reagan's like, I'm good. And Zoe says, I want more bologna. So I got one pack of bologna. And that shit's gone in like 2 days.
I was going to say, what did she have to eat on Tuesday?
So I'm like, Zoe, what have you been eating for lunch for the past like 8 days? And of course, her answer is bologna sandwiches. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to buy bologna for like a couple weeks. Because literally all she ate for a week and a half was bologna sandwiches.
Did you ask her how her bowel movements were? Holy
no,
mackerel.
I didn't ask. That's a lot
of preserved meats going through that body.
But I'm like, there's other stuff. You know what I mean? Like I bought a lot of easy stuff, right? So there was like pasta and like pasta. Boxed mac and cheese. And, like Chef Boyardee stuff. And I mean, like there was plenty of salad stuff.
Asking them to fix stuff. What the heck?
Well, and the thing, and like, shoot, they were still eating vegetables because we've instilled in them that like always have a vegetable with your meal. So like they were still doing it, but like Zoe would like only eat carrots and Zoe will only eat raw carrots. If you cook them, she won't eat them.
Gotcha.
But there was like a ton of like sugar snap peas and stuff like that in the refrigerator. And like they were eating it, but it's just like bologna every day. I mean, I love bologna, but every day? I don't know, man. So, no bologna. There was no bologna this week. There will be no bologna next week.
Hey, suggest to her to try a Whopper.
Yes.
I think she'll be my favorite friend.
Yes. Yowza.
That gin and tonic's going down good?
It's very good.
That Nolets?
You mean that Nolets. You gotta make sure you have at least one pinky up when you say it.
Exactly.
What is your favorite dipping sauce for Asian pot stickers? A sweet sauce or soy sauce?
You also have hot mustard, even though that wouldn't be my choice?
Sure, I'll allow it. It was not in the question, but I'll allow it.
Who is that by?
This is from, I think, Justin.
Oh, good question. Do you have a go-to? Because I do have a go-to, for sure.
Yeah, my go-to is always duck sauce.
Yes.
However, I have had, like, if I get them at a restaurant, there's like this, it's almost like a sweet teriyaki.
Yeah.
But not as sweet as a sweet teriyaki. So I don't know what it is. It's got to be some kind of soy sauce based sauce.
Right.
But it's very good. I think, like, if you go to like a Thai restaurant and you get pot stickers, they do it in this kind of sauce. So I'm assuming maybe it's got like sweet chili sauce maybe in it.
That sounds right.
With sauce. Cause not to stereotype Thai cuisine. But chances are it's got chilies in it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
See, so, I'm a duck sauce, or if I have to, then I'll do soy sauce with wasabi in it.
Soy sauce. You know what's weird? I like to do soy sauce with wasabi for my sushi.
Well, yeah, of course. But that's the next course. I'm not eating a full meal of pot stickers.
I mean, I could. I could eat the shit out of some pot. You know what? I'm putting that in my last meal.
Oh, there you go.
But I'm going to do it after the French cheesecake, so I have a little savory in there.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Post-dessert.
You got a multi-course meal going on there.
You know, when you're pretentious, you got to have seven-course meals.
I only have two bags coming from Big Boy Azar's. That's all.
I do love Asian pot stickers. I've never made.
But what about your drink? Your last meal drink? You never even said.
I mean, do I need to say it? It's a gin and tonic.
Well, I don't know. Would a last meal let you have alcohol?
I mean, goddamn, it's my last meal. I do whatever I want.
All right. Okay.
I mean, and it would be like a Nerdy Legion recording sized gin and tonic. You know what I mean?
A big tumbler.
Yeah. How big is this mason jar? Alexa, lights on. Oh, wait. Yeah.
No,
I know, because I need to tell you the room. I'm sorry, Alexa. I apologize. Alexa, studio on. Thanks. Mason. Is Mason a brand? Because this jar says Mason on it.
I think that's a brand.
I don't know if I can get to the fluid ounces on this because I wrapped it in paper towels to keep it insulated.
Mine says 3 pints. That's what mine says.
This is 2 pints.
Oh.
Which is how many? What's that? 4 cups.
That looks right. Yeah, because 3 pints is 6 cups.
Alexa, how many cups in 1 pint? 2 cups. 1 pint is 2 cups.
Ah, see, we're
Thank
right.
Thank you. So 4 cups, which Welcome. Means this drink is 12 ounces of gin and 4 ounces of tonic.
Welcome back to the podcast, Alexa.
Yes, she is a staple of the show. She's been muted usually on the last dozen or so episodes. Because she likes to get, you know, she likes to get into the show. And I'm like, Alexa, you're not part of the show. This is not the Nerd Legion podcast with Alexa. It's a Nerd Legion podcast with Nick Grubmore. Pock stickers. Oh, I do love some. Mm. I need to make some. That'd be good. So I've made this a couple times in the last like month or so. It's a sweet like soy sauce. It's you know like soy sauce with a little bit of garlic and honey and a little bit of sesame oil.
Oh,
and it's fucking delicious.
Nice.
That might work pretty good with the pot stickers.
No fish sauce in there?
No fish sauce.
Mm.
No, because nobody here likes fish sauce aside from me. And my wife does not like sesame oil.
What?
Except in this sauce that I make.
Ah, okay.
Yep. I know, that's what I said. Because I made something one time in sesame oil. And, I mean, she ate it. She's like, did you make this in sesame oil? And I said, yeah. She's like, I don't like sesame oil. Which, like, it's fine. Because, like, think about it. How many times does it come up in conversation when somebody would be like, hey, do you like sesame oil? Mm-hmm. Chances are, never.
And then did you say, I don't even know you?
Oh, man. So, yes, pot stickers. Good question. What are the chances of Justin trimming his beard in 2019? That's from Dewan. my guess is zero.
Yeah, wait, why should he? It's magnificent.
He said trim. I mean, I'm sure he trims it.
Yeah, of course he does.
But he's not going to cut it.
But it's magnificent, so why should he?
It is. He's my beard hero.
Mm.
Did I ever tell you a story about how I grew my beard? Like, why I grew a beard?
For something to hide behind?
No. Actually, there's two reasons why. So this would have been, oh man, I must have been like 26. So that's almost 12 years ago. So I was dating this girl, right? And we're getting ready to go to a bar. We did karaoke twice a week. So we're getting ready to go to a bar to do karaoke. And I hadn't shaved. And literally, for my entire life, I had no facial hair. I mean, like, for a little while in high school, I had, like, a landing strip. I had a little goatee for a little while. But I always, like, it didn't last very long. I always shaved it. And so we're getting ready to go out, and I was so tired, right? And I had taken a nap, and I woke up. She's like, "You ready to go?" I was like, "Dude, I just fucking woke up. Why would I be ready to go?" She's like, "Well, let's go." I was like, "Well, I need to shower and shave." And she's like, "Well, go shower, but don't shave." She's like, "I like the scruff. I haven't shaved in a few days." So I was like, "All right, fine, whatever." So I didn't shave. And then the next time we're ready to go out, she's like, "I really like the scruff now. Just leave it." So I left it. And so after a couple of weeks, like, I just had a beard. But then what I realized as a side effect of this is that when I would go to the store to, like, buy cigarettes or alcohol, I was no longer getting carded. And, like, granted, I was over 21. But, you know, I think they're supposed to card you to, like, 38 or 40 or something like that. So I guess it made me look old enough where, like, they weren't carding me anymore. So that was the secondary reason.
Oh, wow.
So now I've had this beard for however long that is, 12 years. And if you, I think about it all the time, though. I'm like, I should shave my beard.
Yeah, would everybody even recognize you at this point?
Well, that's the thing. My concern is that I'll start getting carded again. So, anyways. Where am I at? What kind of president would Batman be? The best president.
Who's this from?
This is also from Dewan.
Oh, okay.
I would think, well, for sure, a much better president than our current president. Not to get political, but I'm pretty sure my bidet would make a better president than our current president.
Wow. Shots fired.
So we'll just go with that. I think Batman would be you know what? No, I changed my mind. Batman would be a terrible president. Because he's not a team player.
Would Bruce Wayne be a good president?
Bruce Wayne would be a good president. Batman would be a terrible president. But the thing is, like, Bruce Wayne is not, like, a real person. So he would maybe fit perfectly in the White House. Batman, however, is a real person. And he would make a terrible president because he's not a team player. He tries.
That's true.
He tries.
He's a loner. But, he's a loner and a little bit paranoid.
A little bit paranoid? A lot of bit paranoid.
Like Richard Nixon paranoid.
Yes. Any thoughts on Batman as president?
I could see Bruce Wayne being president because he does... he's the businessman as well as I'm sure he's done corporate takeovers before. He'd be pretty ruthless and as well as surrounding himself with a pretty good staff. Mm. And I think that's what every president needs is a good people surrounding him or her.
All right. I'll accept that answer.
But Batman, no. Batman would be way too paranoid.
Yes. Is it wise to eat Chinese food and Italian food all in the same day? I would say there is no wrong answer to the amount and different types of food that you can eat in one day.
I would say if you gave me wild mushroom ravioli
and God, I love those.
Barbecued pork fried rice, and I could just put one on top of the other and eat it all with soy sauce on top of it. Mamma mia. I want to change my last meal answer because that would be that right there.
You know, that's funny. So I think we've talked about my wife and Reagan's issues with mixing food before.
Yeah.
But I think this is a perfect time to bring this back.
The public school trays of separation.
Yes. So both my wife and oldest child have this obscene thing about not mixing food. So, like, if I make let me just throw something out there. We'll just say all right, here we go. So if I make ranch pork chops and, you know, like wild mushroom rice and some broccoli, okay? Very balanced meal. Cannot be on a regular plate. If it's on a regular plate, none of these elements can be touching. So a lot of times they will
eat them. So they need like five plates?
Well, a lot of times they'll eat them on like, the plastic divider plate. We have those here in this household.
Right.
Because we're animals. they cannot. They cannot. I if I cook, I like to also serve the food, because I like to make it presentable. And a lot of times, my wife will explicitly request for me not to plate her food so that she can use her goddamn divider plates.
Wow.
So that, the food's not touching.
So Nick Wetmore just wrote in three more questions. How do they handle casseroles, which is pretty much a catch-all for throwing five different things all together and serving it up?
Mm.
How do they handle that? How do they handle CC's pizza, which is umpteen different items all on one plate? And do they also, are they one of the few people, because I know a few people that they might have a big, huge plate of food, but they're eating all of their, like, broccoli first, and then they go all, then they eat all of their ranch pork chop, and then they eat all of the potato, and then they, you know what I'm saying? They don't mix and match. So how are they with those three?
So I have answers to all of these. I'm going to start with the last one.
Yes, go ahead.
Because I used to
be
this way.
Thank you for the question, Nick Wetmore.
Yes, thank you, Nick Wetmore. Much appreciated. I used to be this way. Here's the way I look at it. If you eat one piece of your plate at a time, you're a child. Because that's what I used to do when I was like, you know, I mean, I would say until like teenhood. Where like, if my parents made something, I'd be like, oh, just whatever. What did I say? Pork chops, rice, and broccoli. So I would go from the thing that I like eating the least to the thing that I like eating the most. Sure. So I would start with the broccoli, and I would eat all my broccoli. And then I would go to the rice and eat all the rice. And then I would go to the pork chop and eat all the pork chop. Right? Because you're finishing your meal on your most favorite thing, so it makes the rest of the meal feel better. Right?
Sure.
And Zoe does this now. Right? So like, if we make a meal, like I said, there's always a vegetable. So she'll eat the vegetable first, and then whatever the next thing is, and then the protein last. which makes sense, because I used to do that. And I think it makes sense just like psychologically anyway. Reagan and my wife don't do that. So like, they might have like a piece of broccoli and then like get a little bit of rice and then like chop off a little bit of the pork chop and then get another piece of rice and another pork chop and then like two broccoli, whatever, you know? Like, they don't do one thing at a time.
That's how I,
But, but I think it's just weird. You know what I mean? It's just weird. Cause I've always said this. Like, why does it matter if the food is touching or not?
Right.
Because when it goes into your belly, it's all touching.
Yeah.
And it's not like I make things that don't go together, right? So I'm not gonna make like, I don't know, let me think of something. I'm not gonna do like Brussels sprouts with like, fucking, I don't know, a cranberry salad and what's a fish that would go in there? Like a piece of cod. I don't know. A cod with hollandaise sauce. Like, that would make no sense. Those three things don't go together, right? Like, every time I make something, I always make sure that it goes together. Right? Like, even like if I make a rice with something, I make sure the rice, so like, I'm not gonna make a wild mushroom rice with broccoli. I might make like a broccoli rice with broccoli. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, it goes together. But for some reason, like, their foods just cannot touch. And, and the thing is, as I've gotten older, my thing is, my food must touch. Because I like to get like a little piece of broccoli and then like put a little bit of rice on it and then chop a little bit piece of the pork chop in it and just eat it all at one time. Right, because like I said, I try to make, when I make a meal, I make all the elements work together in terms of flavor. And so
What about the CC's all you can eat issue?
So in terms of CC's, it also makes no sense, because what they will do is they'll put like three or four different slices of pizza not of the same pizza, of different pizzas, right? Like right. one of each on the same plate.
That's what I figured they would do.
Yeah, yes, on the same plate. So yeah. What's the difference? I mean, I'm not going to ask because let me tell you, they'll have no answer. And because right. they'll have no answer, they'll get defensive. So I just don't ask.
But in their head, I'm guessing they just think it's pizza.
I mean, I guess.
Okay, one other quick question was just sent in. Have you ever made them after Thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving sandwich?
Of course.
And are they okay with that? Because just the previous day, everything was separated. And now all of a sudden you're putting something, you're putting all the same fixins into a wrap or onto a piece of bread. And they're eating everything combined up together.
And listen, I've done that because when we do like Thanksgiving leftover sandwiches,
yeah.
I'll take a piece of bread. I'll put some turkey on it. I'll put some ham on top. I'll put some right. broccoli casserole on top. I'll put some right. mac and cheese on top of that. And then I'll put the other
stuffing.
Piece of bread. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. And they'll eat that.
Like, to me, it doesn't matter, right? Like, everything right. that's on this sandwich is delicious.
Right.
So who gives a shit?
I guess my guess is in your wife to not defend your wife and daughter's position, but my guess is it's the same thing with like a burrito. In their head, I'm eating a burrito or I'm eating a Thanksgiving sandwich, not I'm eating five things that I separated the day before. It's all just like, oh, it's one item.
Yeah, but the thing is, with the burrito, it's the same.
And it's not logical, but I think that's probably what they're thinking.
And you mentioned casseroles. I like to do casseroles because what I can mm-hmm. do with casseroles is nobody here eats leftovers. My parents would be so mad, right? Because if we had food and there was food left over, guess what you ate the next day? You ate goddamn leftovers. There was no new meal until the old meal was finished.
For sure.
Right? So like you finish your meal, you can go get seconds. You don't want seconds? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Tomorrow you're going to have seconds because that's what you're eating.
Yep.
But here nobody will eat leftovers. Like and I told my wife this. I told you we went to Copper River, right? And like nobody finished their food because it was a lot of food, and we had we got spinach nachos before the meal, which were delicious, by the way.
Sounds great.
It's basically like spinach dip, except instead of in a bowl, they were on top of the nachos.
Oh wow!
But it was delicious. So we had that. And then we all had salads, and then our meal came. So, like, by the time the meal comes, like, you're kind of full, you know what I mean? Like, you had the appetizer, you had a fucking big-ass salad. Now you got to eat a meal? So we all ended up taking food home.
Makes sense.
Well, guess what, Nick? Guess who's been eating the leftovers for lunch for the past 4 days?
Sounds like somebody had four other meals waiting for him for the rest of the week.
So I finished mine on Friday for lunch. I ate Zoe's on Saturday for lunch. I had my wife's today for lunch. And I guess I'll have Reagan's tomorrow for lunch. Because the boxes are just sitting there and they just keep on making meals.
Daddy, the human garbage disposal. Look at you.
It's ever since my wife and I got married, it's always been that way.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. And the thing is, here's the thing that bothers me though. I will always eat the leftovers because nobody else will. And I don't mind, right? And I don't even heat it up because I like cold food.
Right.
I'll just like eat it out of the box or whatever. Or the Tupperware container. But, what bothers me is like, it'll be like 4 days later, right? And like, let's say like, so I'm going to eat Reagan's for lunch tomorrow, I'm sure. It's like a little piece of steak and French fries, right? I guarantee you, I'm going to eat it for lunch. And then, like, next week, I'll hear, well, why'd you eat my steak and fries? What do you mean? Well, I brought it because I wanted to eat it. Yeah, it's been in the refrigerator for a week. If you didn't eat it by now, nobody's going to eat it.
I get the same thing. My wife's mother will send us home leftovers. And I know darn well, even if that was a 10-star meal, I know darn well my wife might have it that night, but the rest of the week, oh, all that's on Dick. Mm. Sorry. That entire thing is that's laid onto me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. I enjoy the food. So.
Yep. I got a plan like what I'm going to do this week though. I'm going to do a 3-day fast.
Ooh.
I'm doing a water and tea only fast. So I get everything that I'm making the next couple of days, I got to make sure it's like exact with no leftovers. Cause otherwise that food's going in the trash.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways.
That would wig me out.
Yep. Will you guys be trying the new KFC Cheetos fried chicken sandwich? I don't know what this is. What is a Cheetos fried chicken sandwich?
Who is this from?
Also from Duane.
Oh, you didn't see the Cheetos, chicken fried sandwich?
No, I don't prepare for this show. You know that.
What the hell? It was.
You should be glad. You should be glad I collected the questions.
I love that you collected the questions. Thank you so much. But let's be honest. You should be up on Kentucky Fried Chicken garbage menu.
I'm looking at it right now. Tell me about it. Oh my god.
Oh yeah. It is their original recipe, or no, their crispy chicken sandwich patty, and then it looks like a layer of Cheetos put on top of them, and then I don't know what the sauce is, but my guess is it looks sort of like a honey hot sauce, maybe that Nashville hot sauce.
So according to this article, it says a quote unquote special Cheeto sauce.
Yeah, brother.
Interesting.
But no, I have not tried that. Yes, will I be trying that? Hell yes. That sounds fantastic. I'm just happy because I hate that everyone in the U.S. has gone over to those flaming hot Cheetos.
Mm.
And those are just so powerful taste-wise that they just blow out whatever they're put with.
Yeah.
Like even the Dorito, flaming hot Dorito nacho, what is it, the taco shell that Taco Bell uses?
Mm-hmm.
The Cool Ranch taco shell? Oh, all day. But that flaming hot one, it just blows everything out. You can't taste anything.
So let me tell you my favorite Cheeto.
Oh.
My favorite Cheeto is the Chipotle Ranch Cheetos, crunchy Cheetos.
Yes, those are good.
They're so good.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you were going to say that one.
So good. Do you remember
the jalapeno?
Oh, those are pretty good. The Puffs.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are good. You remember when Burger King had the Mac and Cheetos?
Yes, I wish I would have tried them. I didn't even know that they came and went.
They're so good.
I saw a picture of them. They looked phenomenal.
Yeah,
they
so looked good.
Like hash browns.
Yes. Mac and Cheetos.
Mm. Now I'm hungry.
Very good.
White Castle open. Let's go.
I'm going to go to Taco Bell. They're the only thing open right now.
Oh, jeez.
No, not really. Let's see here. All right. This is from, I believe his name is Michael. SOS Rope.
Mm.
Or SOS Rope. My bad. Because it's based on a book. Nick, this is one of my favorite ones, by the way. Are you ready for this?
Oh boy. I think this one's way out of my league, but go ahead.
All right. Nick Wetmore is the Wizard Wetmore. Martin is the mysterious paladin of Ogma. Gundy is an acrobat. Orc stole Wetmore's grimoire. Can't just bust their lair. They have Martin's niece, an acrobat dude's mother-in-law, hostage. What do y'all do?
Oh my God. That is so crazy. What a scenario.
All right,
I want somebody to animate that.
Yes. Someone needs to animate this. Mad props to you, Sos Rope, because this question is extremely creative.
For sure.
We received a lot of questions. No offense to everybody else, but they were all like standard Nerd Legion questions. This question is above the rest. This is like a two pinkies up question. So props to you.
crazy.
Hashtag NO200, hashtag D&D5E. I, Nick Wetmore, have never played Dungeons & Dragons.
Wow, I'm shocked at that.
I have never played. I have wanted to play for several years. But I don't know anyone that would play with me.
I, Martin Ferretti, am in exactly the same boat as you. I've always wanted to play. I didn't care how nerdy it was in high school. I desperately wanted to play. Didn't know anybody that would play. Didn't know anybody who would be dungeon master. So at least I could kick back and at least try to figure this out. Gundy was the first person that I knew that actually did do magic and Dungeons and Dragons. And I desperately wanted to know. I desperately wanted to try it, but I just never, I never knew a group that would be like, come on in.
Yeah. And see, like, we have very nerdy friends now, and I've thought about being like, hey, we should start like a D&D campaign. But like, how do you do that when you're not like person to person? You know what I mean? Like, surely there's a way, but I have no idea.
I'm sure there is. See, like my local comic book shop, they have, you know, they have a group that gets together and does it every week. But I feel like unless I came week one, it'd be a little tough for me just to wander in and like, hey, guys, let me sit down. Now explain everything to me because I don't know a darn thing.
Yes.
Like there was that art book that I told Dennis about, or maybe he already knew about it. I don't know, but we started to talk about it, and it was all the like origins of like Dungeons and Dragons art, like the history of it. And that I just found fascinating because I remember going into hobby stores and looking at different dungeons and different books, and the fantasy art just was really attractive to me. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I didn't know anyone. No clue.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, you and I have both played, like, video games that are based on, like, D&D rule sets or, like, D&D lore a little bit, right? Like Baldur's Gate and a couple of games like that.
For sure.
Like, even Skyrim and things like that. But, like, it's not D&D.
No.
Right? It's not the same thing. Like, I don't even know how you would do, like, have a dungeon master and, like, the players in a setting where, like, nobody's in the same room. Like, I'm sure there's a way, right?
I think everybody has shifted over to card games.
Well, probably.
And that's where it's at. I mean, the last thing that I played that was even close to Dungeons & Dragons was XCOM. They let everyone know ahead of time, these are dice rolls, this is randomized, you're going, you know, section by set, you're going, you know, square by square, and things affect you, and it's a brutal game, and you can easily team wipe at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
But I it felt, other than it being sci-fi, it felt like it was D&D.
Mm. Yeah. So if anybody knows how to set up a D&D campaign, like, online, I will play the shit out of that.
I've even watched people.
I will set up
YouTube.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, over the internet or in person?
No. They're playing a game at a table, and they have cameras set up.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm saying, though. Because, like, Jeff Cannata has that new podcast.
Right.
Where they're doing D&D campaigns. But I'm talking about, like, I have nobody to play D&D with. You know what I mean? Like, I could probably go to my comic shop and play D&D there. But, like, I don't want to do that. I want to be at home.
Right.
So if there's a way to do a D&D campaign from the comfort of my home, somebody let me know, and we will do a Nerdy Legion D&D campaign.
How can there not be something video game-wise that would be the same thing? You're just adapting your whatever traits you want into a rogue or into whatever type of character that you want to be.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be the same thing, though.
It wouldn't, but at least everybody, I'm just thinking everybody would be group chatting and trying to strategize how to, you know, get through a dungeon.
I would be the Leroy Jenkins of that campaign.
or you just leave after a couple hours. Like, guys, I'm way too drunk. I gotta go.
No, everyone would be plotting their how to kill the dragons or whatever, and I'd be like, Leroy Jenkins. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Leroy Jenkins on YouTube or whatever. It's fucking hilarious. I like I said, like, I've played games that have elements of this stuff, but like, I want to do like a legit D&D campaign. You know what I mean? Like, I know some of these things last for like years sometimes, right?
You want to,
like,
LARP as well?
If you have like a good dungeon master, you can have an engrossing story that will take forever. But like, I just want like a taste of it. I don't need like a 10-year campaign.
Right.
But like, if we set up a campaign and like, I just play like over a night or two or whatever, like, I just want to get a taste of it. Cause I, like, there's gotta be something to it, right? If people have been like obsessed with D&D for 40 years, there's gotta be something to it. So I wanna get like a legit D&D experience. And I have zero nerd friends around me. Like, the friends that I have around me, all they wanna do is talk about trucks.
I hear you. But wouldn't it be tough, like, at a convention, you have five people that are like-minded like you who want to do D&D, but also you haven't talked to them you haven't seen them for a year. So now do you really want, because there's always a buddy that's like, hey, you want to play D&D this year? And then it all conceptually, it sounds great. But then when you think about like, wait, does that mean I'm committing the next 7 hours instead of hanging out with my friends BSing? Now all of a sudden it's like, no. Now you have to focus, stop drinking, read all these stats, memorize, try to figure out what the hell, you wrap your head around this. Okay, now let's play this for the next 7 hours.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's always the friend that's like, they want to push like the new card game or the new board game. And it's like, this isn't really, a con is not where you want to be like, yeah, teach me how to play this new board game.
Exactly. Oh boy. Exactly. Somebody listening to this will be a huge D&D fan. So's the Robe, I'm sure you are. I know Sparky listens. I know Sparky's a big D&D guy.
Dennis is.
Somebody let me know. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to know a way to set this up online. We will, you know what? We will live stream this on Twitch as Martin learns to play D&D. Because I want to learn to play D&D. This sounds very fun. But I have nobody to do it with locally.
You need some graph paper.
Sure.
Let's start it up. Let's do this.
Oh, I have graph paper. I didn't tell you this, but I've got a new hobby.
Oh?
This is a very strange hobby. My new hobby is fifth dimensional mathematics.
Whoa.
It's really fun.
That sounds heavy.
It's so cool.
Sheesh.
It's so cool. I was playing around with this JavaScript library. God, what's it called? I gotta find it. I think it's called like, no, I'll lie if I say it. That's not what it's called. But I was playing around with this JavaScript library that lets you, it's made for like, not so much like HTML games, but like you can do that, or like, it's for like mathematicians basically. And I watched this like 2-hour tutorial. This guy created a hypercube, a tesseract, using this JavaScript library. And it was awesome. So I know you saw my tweet about, I got really bored at work. So I created this Python script to find, factorials of numbers. I've been doing a lot of, it's weird because I was an English major in college and I hate math, but I've always been a huge fan of like quantum physics and stuff like that. And so I've been delving a lot into, mathematics and, it's fascinating. I wish 20 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that math was so boring because it's actually not boring at all.
Yeah.
So I do have graph paper lying around.
I love it.
If somebody knows how to do a D&D campaign, with people remotely, let me know. We'll set up a game. I'm very, very interested. I want, you know what I'm saying? Like this podcast used to be about comics, and it sometimes still is about comics. But you know what this show is about? It's just like about like nerdy shit.
Yeah, it's a nerdy catch-all.
It's not necessarily like nerd culture. Just like anything that just you want to nerd out about, that's what this show is about. And I've wanted to nerd out about D&D for like 20 years.
You want to talk about math for 20 minutes? Go ahead. That's what this show's there for.
Don't tease me with a good time.
Hey, I'm just saying. Mm. Nerdy Legion episode 201. Let's get it. Let's get it on. Math is our friend.
I've been. I was trying to figure out how to make a wing out of a Penrose circle the other day. You know, when I say I'm taking July off of podcasting to work on my book and other stuff, like that's very true. But it's also to like do really random weird shit, like making a wing out of a Penrose circle. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. All right. Thank you, Sosa Rope. That was, that's a good one. Oh, wait, we didn't answer the question. They have a niece, an acrobat dude's mother-in-law hostage. What do you do? I don't know. Maybe after we play D&D, we can figure that out. I'll use my, I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend to know what the hell I'm talking about.
We got to hit up the Wikipedia just to understand everything and try to put it into our terms.
For sure. For sure. Who was your favorite Fraggle Rock character? So, I gotta admit something. I hate Fraggle Rock. So, I don't have a favorite Fraggle Rock character because I don't like any of them.
Wow.
Matter of fact, not only do I not like Fraggle Rock, I don't like puppets of any kind.
What?
I don't like puppets of any kind.
So, even Dark Crystal or the Muppets, Where the Wild Things Are, all that, you don't like any of that.
Where the Wild Things Are, I enjoyed it. Dark Crystal, I enjoyed it. But like, outside of that, I don't like puppets. I don't like puppets on strings. I don't like sock puppets. I don't like shadow puppets. I don't like any puppets.
Wow.
The only time I like puppets are in like super kooky, retarded ass, like Silver Age comics.
Sheesh. Now every gif that I send you is going to have a puppet in it. Holy cat.
Yeah, I don't like puppets.
I enjoy marionettes. I enjoy puppets. I enjoy puppetry. I enjoy everything that you named, especially the Muppets. But I've never, ever once even seen one frame of Fraggle Rock. That has completely missed me. I know there's some relationship to Jim Henson, but I have no clue. Mm-hmm. And I think I was too old for it. And I never went back to, like, check it out.
I think I was just never interested.
Yeah, I get it.
So like I said, I only like puppets in kooky 50s, 60s comics, and I like puppets when they're not really puppets. So like the Muppet Babies cartoon, I loved it.
Mm.
But it was a cartoon of Muppets.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Hey, hang on a second.
Sure. Don't know where he ran off to. I'm going to vamp and let everyone know that I am the Summer of Soups, hashtag Summer of Soups. My summer reading is Superman comic books, is going strong. Right now I'm reading the 75-year celebration of Lois Lane, almost done with that. Hopefully I can finish that up this week. All I want to do is own all of the Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane issues. I thought Jimmy Olsen comics were crazy and just nutty in a great way. Lois Lane is right there with Jimmy Olsen. They are fantastic. Going from her changing into a black woman for 24 hours to her spraying herself with a spray that de-ages her, and then, but she wants to marry Superman. So the entire issue is every time she, and of course she sprays Superman as well. Every time she gets to a person who possibly could marry them, all of a sudden they're teenagers, and then they are 10 years old, and then they're toddlers. And the last person who could marry them while they were toddlers, Lois couldn't say I do. All she could say is goo goo because she was 3 years old or 2 years old. This is what I'm dealing with. And I don't care if people say that it's dated, it's poor storytelling. Doesn't matter to me. It is flights of fancy. It is just comic craziness storytelling that is oh so beautiful and absolutely. I can't get enough of this. The only problem with the 75-year celebration of Lois Lane is you get maybe four stories of it. And I just want more. I'm still shocked that DC hasn't done a 75 or 80 year celebration of Jimmy Olsen or Brainiac. I'm sort of surprised that it's just Superman, Lois Lane, and Lex Luthor.
What'd I miss?
I was just talking about what I'm reading currently. So we did get some comic book talk in.
Oh, fantastic.
This episode. Yes, yes.
Fantastic. I read too much.
Those issues of Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane,
yeah,
those are as advertised. They are such unbelievable flights of fancy. Just wow, are they? They're great. They're just amazing. I show every cover to my wife because she's just like, what? Wait, Lois Lane became a 400-pound person just for one day and hid from Superman? What is that about? Mm. And it's like, oh yeah, it's very, in today's climate, it's very not PC. But boy, when they were writing them back then, it was just fantasy for fantasy's sake, and it was great. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
Love them.
We were at Barnes & Noble yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zoe likes to get books. She doesn't want to wait till they come in, you know what I'm saying? So every weekend we'll go to the bookstore and buy a book. And nice. And she bought something, but I bought something.
Ooh.
I actually bought a few things. But the most important thing is I bought Rise of the Superheroes, which is a brief history of comics in the Silver Age.
Ooh.
And it's very cool. It's like an oversized book. There's like a ton of like covers and stuff in there. It's really good.
Is there a lot of prose, or is it mainly just an art book?
There's a lot of prose, but it's very easy to read prose, and, cool. And it's interspersed with enough art that it's a quick read.
I
already finished the book.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you learn a lot? Like percentage wise, what was new information for you?
Not so much the DC and Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an other section, so it talks about Charlton and Gold Key and Archie and stuff like that. And matter of fact, I tweeted about this yesterday. I want to get Silver Age Thunder Agents now. Which is now owned by DC, but I think fairly recently, I think they bought the rights to Thunder Agents in 2010. So very recent. And I can't remember what company published Thunder Agents, but they were describing, the characters and their power set and basic history of the characters. Mm-hmm. Tower Comic, that's what it was. And man, it sounded so awesome. I was like, I gotta get these. So that's gonna be my new rabbit hole coming soon.
I love those rabbit holes. Ooh.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
But it's fantastic. Matter of fact, Tower Agents or Tower Comics hired, crap. Now the name escapes me, but one of the guys that was, running the EC horror books, hired him to do Thunder Agents.
Oh, wow.
So, when I saw that, I was like, oh, I love EC Comics. So count me in. I can't remember who it was. Wally Wood, that's who it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since DC just bought, well, not just bought, but got the rights to Thunder Agents, have they released any trades or anything like that?
I didn't look, but I think Thunder Agents showed up recently, like recently, within the last couple of years in a couple of DC books.
I want the vintage stuff that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who the heck knows?
I don't know. Was it DC Moves? Whatever. Somebody. Somebody has Thunder Agents. But I want to get the old stuff. Cause, dude, let me tell you. Like, there was one, like, matter of fact, a couple interior pages, that were shown in that book. And man, it was gorgeous. Like, it does not look like art from the 60s. It looks like art from, like, the 80s.
Dang.
It was like super clean and crisp. Anyway.
We need it.
Thunder Agents. It's going to be my new thing. Thunder Agents number 1 came out, I want to say like 63, 64, something like that.
Are those pretty pricey since Wally Wood's attached to it?
I mean, I don't know. You know what? Let's look it up right now. Let's play a game.
Uh-oh.
The game is called Martin Buys Comics on the Podcast.
That's a recurring segment. That isn't a game. That's what the listeners come for. They love when you do this.
What a steal. Sold to me.
Uh-oh.
$25.99. Oh, jeez. $20 shipping.
What?
Oh, man. All right, fuck it. Buy it now. All right.
That's going to look good up on your shelf.
Thunder Agents 1 is sold. Thanks. I'll post the cover afterwards and I'll tag you in it.
Yes, please. Wow, that's great.
Man, that's cheap. What's the whole, hang on. We're about to buy more stuff.
If one was that price, that's probably the most expensive one. So let's look at 2 and 3.
Well, you know, I bought, oh God, what was it? Adventure Comics. Shit, I can't remember the issue number 6, I think it was. Mm-hmm. First appearance of Tommy Tomorrow.
Yes.
Cause apparently, like, I think DC might be, like, talking about putting out a new Tommy Tomorrow book.
Ooh.
And I was reading, so in preparation for, the Batpod, we were doing our top 3 Silver Age books. Ooh. Silver Age Batman books. That'll be out same day as this. So go subscribe to the Batpod. But it's very tough because I love Silver Age books. I love Golden Age books too, but I love Silver Age books. And I was like, God, like top 3, like that's really tough.
Yeah.
Cause there's a lot of like really cool, like fun comics from what's Silver Age? Like 56 to 69, I think it is. So I ended up reading like 100 different books in preparation for this episode, to narrow it down to 3. And, matter of fact, I tweeted the ad that I saw in one of them. I can't remember what book it was, but in one book that I was reading, it had an ad for a showcase from the 60s. And it billed itself as the second appearance of Tommy Tomorrow. So now I have to buy it.
Nice.
Yeah. Dude, these are cheap. Thunder Age is number 2. Oh, wait, that's 83. Where's the one from 60? Oh, here we go. $15.
Oof.
And $16 in shipping. That's ridiculous.
What is up with the shipping?
That's ridiculous.
Do they think they're only going to get one bid, so they got to jack up the shipping?
I mean, I guess. Oh, here we go. Canadian listing, $17, $10 shipping.
But what's the conversion?
I mean, it's when Canadian dollars. It's probably like 25 cents.
That's true. That's how that works. That's how currency works.
17 Canadian dollars is equivalent to, let's find that right now.
Just send them a loony.
It's $12.88.
Perfect. What a deal.
What a deal. Thunder Agents. God, I can't wait to read this shit.
So when you guys are doing your best Silver Age, did you all talk beforehand of what's going to be discussed, or did you guys have any overlapping issues?
So the day before, I asked everyone to tell me what issues they picked, Because there were two that I knew I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my third selection I was not sure about. So I had like, what had I had narrowed it down to like three. So I was like, hey, what's everyone doing? Cause I'm trying to narrow it down. And fortunately, Jay had actually picked one of the issues. So I ended up not picking that one.
Perfect.
But yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, the more exposure, at least in my head with items like that, the more exposure that you can give the listener, the better. Because I can always like, oh, I do love the issue where Peter Parker sprouts six arms.
Mm.
But if somebody else is going to talk about that, okay, I'll talk about, you know, the Us Spider Slayer issue that I love.
That's a great issue, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Batpod, go subscribe. It's fantastic. Yeah. I love doing that show.
It's a great show.
All right. This is a tough one. This is from Dennis.
Ooh.
Top five movie posters of all time.
Ooh.
That's really hard. I do know what my, I don't know. I don't know if it's my top, but it's definitely in my top five. And that is the, poster for 1982's Blade Runner.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I love that poster.
That's a real good one.
Matter of fact, let's play another game. It is called Martin Buys More Stuff.
Oh, no.
Let's see here. Blade Runner poster. How much do these run? No, not that one. The original. Oh, really? $5? With free shipping? That can't be. This can't be a real poster. This has to be some like fake reproduction.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's not an original.
$3.99 Great British Pounds. Oh, here's the problem. I always forget about this. I always get UK prices because I'm on the internet in UK.
Oh, yeah, you are hanging out in the UK quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm about to switch that, actually. I'm switching to Switzerland.
That's because it's the summer?
Well, Switzerland, because they have good privacy laws. So I'm going to switch there, but that's going to really F me up.
For your BBC?
I'll just switch back to UK for BBC. But I mean, like, for everything else. Because, like, every website I go to, it just, like, redirects to the UK site. I'm like, no, just fucking, like, let me sign in. Like, I went to this website. Just keep me at this website. Mike brought up an interesting – I don't know if you saw Mike's tweet about Twitter.
No.
So, Mike – shout out to Mike. Mike, apparently him and Bill, like, discussed something at Heroes. And, like, immediately he got an ad for, like, the thing he was talking about.
Wow.
On Twitter. So he's talking about, like, I'm pretty sure Twitter listens to my conversations, which is not like a random thing. Cause like people have been saying this for years about like Facebook and everything else.
For sure. He's not the only person I've heard this from.
For sure. So that's why, you should run a good VPN,
especially regarding, Facebook ads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know people use like, Chrome or whatever as a browser. I don't recommend it because it's Google and Google takes all your shit. I recommend Firefox, and with Firefox I use the what's this called? I'll tell you right now. Extensions. It is called the Firefox Multi-Account Containers. You worked there for a tech company. I don't know if you guys use containers or not.
Mm-hmm.
Containers basically keep all your information within just that tab. So, like if you're signed into Twitter on a tab, it will not share any information with another tab. So, you won't have this problem. It helps for you not to have this problem. We should do a, that'd be super boring. Never mind. I was gonna say we should do a, Martin Talks About Privacy one day. But nobody wants that. Let's see here.
Hey, it's your show. We can do it.
I want to know if this is a real poster. 24 by 36. I mean, that sounds like a real size. But is this like a legit poster? Because if so, I will buy this.
I will own this.
You know what? I'm just buying it.
Uh-oh.
975 US plus $11 shipping. God damn it.
Oof.
That's how they get you.
It is.
But yes, I love the Blade Runner poster. I think it's fantastic. Blade Runner is one of my favorite, basically any poster from the Aliens, we'll just say trilogy, because I know there's more than three, but let's be real, Aliens 4 was kind of garbage, so I'm not counting it. But I think any posters from that franchise are great. The Predator poster's fantastic, also one of the greatest films of all time. By the way, I just finished the Audible adaptation of Neal Stephenson's Alien 3 script, which was never, it was not filmed, but he had written a screenplay for it, and there is an Audible adaptation of it, full cast. There is also a comic going on right now being put out by Dark Horse that is an adaptation of Stevenson's Alien 3 script, and it is totally different from the movie, because again, they didn't pick a script.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You got any posters that you really like? Movie posters?
I'm only going to name one person who has easily done probably my top 10 of posters.
Oh.
And that's Drew Struzan.
Mm.
And he's the artist that did Blade Runner. He's the artist that did The Thing. He's the artist that did Cannonball Run.
Oh man, The Thing, that's a great poster.
Yeah, it's a great poster. He did Back to the Future. He did Star Wars, all the Star Wars posters. Mm-hmm. Like he is amazing. I've loved his work for decades. So, and I think I even told you, I thought Amazon, this was 2 years ago, but there was a Drew Struzan documentary on Amazon, The Man Behind the Poster.
Oh yeah.
And I still highly recommend that if you want to see some beautiful poster art. The only other one, and they never give credit to the designer of these posters, but I love the Criterion collection. I love whoever does the art. I'm sure it's in-house artwork, because it's never usually the like poster art that you'd see in like theaters, but... Mm-hmm. I do love like all the artwork that you see on their Blu-rays and DVDs.
Very good. Very good. That reminds me of, I love the Logan's Run poster.
Yeah.
In fact, I just watched Logan's Run because I think it's on Netflix.
Sounds right.
But God, Farrah Fawcett. Ugh, I just love her. She is so sexy. Like, even when she was, like, in her 60s, she was so sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Logan's Run. Great movie, by the way. Does it hold up? Yes. Kind of.
And I also like Saul Bass from, like, the 60s, I want to say.
Yeah.
He did, like, The Man with the Golden Arm. Very, very cool-looking posters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, didn't he do Vertigo? He might have done Vertigo as well. Did. Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, but definitely check out that Drew Struzan documentary if you want to dive a little deeper into his history.
Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
We have a message message from Mike.
Uh-oh.
Happy 200th. I love you guys. Also, thank you guys for being such good friends and providing hours and hours of entertainment. I love anything you talk about, even if it's how to repair a sink. We did do an episode on how to repair a sink. I hope it was educational. I hope next time you need to repair a sink, you will know how to do it. And if not, you can play back that episode. let's see. I only have one more question.
Oh, hit it.
Last question. I saved the most important question for last.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Hashtag NL200. Boxers, briefs, or commando?
Do you want to handle this one, or should I go?
I mean, I would love to handle this question.
Because mine is none of the above.
Oh, whoa. Maybe you should go first.
It's boxer briefs.
Ah, well, that's kind of, that's cheating, hey? Nick. That's cheating.
It ain't cheap. That's what I wear, son.
Mm.
With that new, what is it called? The new fancy name for, like, so you don't get crotch pot.
Oh, like, yeah. What's that called?
Wiccan?
Yeah, Wiccan something like that.
Something. Yeah, that's what I. And I hate to say it. I never thought I would be, because I was like, whatever gets me through the night regarding underwear. Like, it's just the cheapest of the cheap, whatever's on sale, buy.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden I bought one pair that was a little bit more expensive. I haven't turned back since.
So let me ask you, there's companies that sell like fancy underwear. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to name by name, but we'll just throw one out there, like MeUndies, not a sponsor, mm-hmm. shame on them. Yeah. But like MeUndies, they have, what do they use? Like the silver thread or whatever.
Sure.
It's like antibacterial.
Yeah, there you go.
Like no rise, whatever the fuck, right?
Or Duluth.
Yeah.
Duluth Trading that, like, Company. No ride up underwear, no sweat or no contact sweat or whatever they're fancy. I haven't tried Duluth yet because I haven't been into a Duluth store, but buddy, I'm tempted to try Duluth. Because every time they're describing the way they're doing the science of underwear, I'm like, I can sort of get behind that. Because all of a sudden I went into a Target, and instead of buying the cheap one, I'm like, what's this? I think it was Champion. I want to say Champion. But it had that Wicket material, breathes better, something about like sweat and odor. And I'm like, all right, let me try that. And it's just made differently than your standard Fruit of the Loom or whatever it is. It's just made differently. And I also like, I've been converted over to the extra long boxer briefs, so they don't ever ride up on you. You don't get the bagging in between the legs, which is really nice.
Interesting.
Yes. So I'm a convert.
So, I know there's a couple of listeners that are actually big Duluth fans.
Ooh.
Because I think we've talked about underwear before, and I know I've received a few messages about Duluth Trading Company. So I know there are some fans out there. Whoever you are, if you're still listening, then let me know or let Nick know.
Yeah, speak up. I want to know.
I'm curious.
But isn't MeUndies, like, I'm talking like, let's just say Fruit of the Loom is like $10.99 a pair. By me going to Champion or whatever, just a step up. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is. It's one step up, and the package of whatever it is, two or three, might be $14, mm-hmm. instead of $10. But I know MeUndies are supposed to be quite a bit more. I don't know about Duluth. That's why I'm like, are they that much better? But me, just for me taking one step up, I totally noticed the difference.
I think that the Luths are more than MeUndies.
Yeah, see, that's why, like, I want to believe the hype, because I believe it in one step, but is it worth the money? Like, am I spending $20 a pair?
Sure.
Is it worth the hype? I'm not sure.
I got you.
But how about you?
So growing up, I was a Tidy Whitey's guy. Until I hit puberty and discovered the magic of the boxer brief.
Mm-hmm,
And then for many a year, I wore boxer briefs. Back then, mm-hmm. we did not have the choices of, regular length, extra length, whatever. There's just one size.
Sure.
And they were great. But, you know, I'm going to say this, Nick. Over the last, I'm going to say maybe 2 years, I've kind of been a commando guy.
Uh-oh.
I've been a commando guy. And I'm going to say this. There's commando guys get a lot of flack. Because, maybe it's not the best way to do it. Okay, commando. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you this. If you do commando correctly, I would say it's the most sanitary way to do it. Because for one, I feel very free going commando. One thing that I really enjoyed about the boxer briefs was that there was no constriction to my down there area. You know what I mean? You know, when you wear boxer briefs, like, you feel very, like, everything's in place. Right? But, like, there's some...
Boxers or boxer briefs?
Just boxer, or just briefs. Yes, like, tidy whities. It's very constrained. Right. You might get some chafing or whatever. That's not fun.
No.
Boxers give you the freedom, but the problem with boxers is they ride up the leg.
See, my problem with boxers, and I think I would have this problem with commando, after a while, I feel gravity's pull a little too much.
Really?
Yes. Huh. I need a little harness. Just a little. Not tighty-whitey harness, but just a little. That's where boxer briefs is a perfect hybrid.
See, I don't feel that at all. I feel like going commando gives you the freedom of boxer briefs with even less constriction than boxer briefs. Like, boxer briefs have basically no constriction, right?
A little bit.
Just like, it's just like the fabric, like, rubs. Listen, let's be real here. We're talking about balls. The fabric just kind of, like, touches your balls every once in a while. And you're like, yeah, my balls are still there, right? But when you go commando, oftentimes you don't have that, right? There's nothing to remind you. Because it's just pure, unadulterated freedom.
Especially in the gentleman's club.
Absolutely. Now, I know that some people don't like the commando thing because they're like, well, like, that's not very sanitary because, you know, your crack and your ball sack are just touching your pants and you're going to sweat more and this and that. Yes, very true. The thing is, if you're a hygienic person and you actually change your clothes – it doesn't really much matter.
True.
Because, as you know, I like to wear uniform. I'm a big fan of the Levi 512s. That is the only pant that I wear is, the Levi 512s slim taper fit. All my pants are that.
Levi's not a sponsor.
Shame on them. This is the first time I've mentioned Levi's, but that's what I wear. they're fantastic. I don't know if you were, do you have a pair of 512s?
I don't. I think I do 510s.
510s. 510s are great. The 502s are pretty good too. If I had to rank them, here's the ranking from worst to best. 501s.
You never, Legionnaires, you never thought you were going to get this special. Episode 200, did you?
From worst to best, 501s, 502s, 508s, 510s, 512s. 512s are literally the best thing you will ever wear. They are. I mean, I'm talking about, like, pants, right? These are not jeans.
Sure.
These are pants. They're fantastic. I only get them in two colors. I get the beige. And I get, oh God, I don't remember what the color is. It's like a grayish blue. You can also get them in black, and I think they have like a greenish color, like a gray and one other one. I can't remember. But I only get those two colors.
No black.
No black.
Wow.
I have no black pants.
Well, you do wear a black shirt, so that would look a little weird.
All my shirts are black.
Right. You can't go black and black.
Correct. And I do that very simple. I do the Hanes, I do the V-neck and the regular, like, rounded neck.
Gotcha.
But just, like, plain Hanes t-shirts. 512s. Levi's, we will gladly accept your sponsorship for Levi's 512s. But not any other Levi's.
Same with MeUndies.
Because they're garbage. Yeah, same with MeUndies. Because I have a MeUndies account, but I never ordered any because I thought it was a little too expensive for underwear.
Come on.
However, if we received a coupon code from MeUndies, maybe they wouldn't be too expensive.
Sounds like a science experiment that you should be partaking in.
So, Let me see if Beyond This reaches out, and then we'll go from there. So, but yes, the 512s, fantastic. My favorite pant of all time is a Levi's 512. But I go Commando, because unlike some dirty motherfuckers that listen to the show and some that don't listen, I change my pants every day.
Thank you.
And so the fact that I – because here's the thing, right? People are like, oh, you go Commando. That's kind of gross. Well, the only reason it's gross is if you don't change your pants. But I guarantee you, you change your underwear every day, don't you? So if right. I change if you, my pants every had, day, what's the difference?
Yeah, if you have stinky underwear because you didn't wipe well enough, shame on you.
Right.
But it doesn't matter as long as – I mean, I'm changing my underwear every day, if not multiple times a day. Sure. Same with pants.
Sure. So that's what I'm saying.
I'm with you.
So I go Commando. I think there's a ton of freedom. I do wonder sometimes, though, like if I go pee, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is the one thing that I worry about. I don't worry about going number two because, as you know, I can't go number two in public. I have to go number two at home. And at home, I have a bidet. Mm-hmm. So I know it's clean.
Yeah.
But when I go pee, I'm always concerned, like, what if, like, I'm done peeing and I do a little shake, shake, shake?
Yeah.
But there's still, like, a droplet in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially with beige pants.
Right,
oh, boy.
Right.
You got a spotlight right there.
Right. It's like if I had underwear on, it wouldn't be a problem because my underwear would soak it. But guess what? That's fucking disgusting. Just like not wearing it and then going on my pants.
But, buddy, that can still happen even if you have underwear.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So if you feel better, Commando, you just go. As long as you're not wearing your pants multiple days and then you put your pants in the corner and your pants walk away by themselves, I think we're okay.
Correct. No, pants are one-time use, especially if you're going Commando. If you're going Commando and you wear the same pair of pants back-to-back, shame on you. Go and jump off a cliff.
Ooh, jeez, shots fired.
Because that's disgusting. That's all I'm saying.
I love it.
I hope that answers the question on boxers, briefs, or Commando.
Yeah, who asked that?
That was from Jay Loving.
Oh, always with the insightful question. I appreciate that. I respect that.
No relation to Lay Jeving.
Yeah, that's true.
Completely different people.
Yes.
Oh, man. You got anything else?
I'm just curious what our plans moving forward with Nerdy Legion possibly could be.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Are you looking to change the show, the format? Are you enjoying the way it is right now?
I'm glad you brought this up, Nick.
Okay.
So this episode is coming out June 26th, the year of our Lord, sweet 8 pounds, 6 ounce baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. Which means that I'm almost done with podcasting for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be recording probably one more, maybe two more episodes,
mm-hmm.
and then you will have a new co-host for the show for a couple weeks while I'm gone.
True that. I think we'll have special guest appearances.
Yes, special guest appearances. I believe Mr. Gunderstorm. Mm-hmm. We'll be partaking in the show, and I can't wait to listen to that.
Ooh, that's gonna – and I even asked him if there's any topics that are off limits, and he said as long as there isn't any topics for you to have off limits.
I can't wait. Gundy is fucking awesome. I love meeting him at C2E2.
Mm-hmm.
He looks exactly like I dreamed he would.
Looks and sounds, yes.
Yes. Like – I had this idea in my head of what he looked and sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also had a dream of what I dreamed he would look and sound like. And he did not look and sound like I thought he would, but he looked and sounded exactly like I dreamed he would.
We're making dreams come true, even in your absence.
So I can't wait to listen to the show when Gundy comes on, because I don't know a whole lot about Gundy. I know you know Gundy much better than I do. But he seems like a fabulous person. And if there's one person that I think could talk as much garbage on the show as I can, it's Gunderstorm.
Yeah, he's going to bring it. I'm hoping. This is going to be his first podcast, so my fingers are crossed.
I can't wait to listen. Good. So I'll be on for one, maybe two more episodes, but then I'll be gone for a month on my vision quest, and I'm very excited for that.
Yes, your spiritual journey of awakening.
Yes, my spiritual journey of awakening. And we'll see what happens when I get back, man. You know, like, you and I never plan anything. Nope. Well, let me rephrase that. Sometimes you plan things, and I don't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm. And I respect that.
And you respect that. And I think, to me, it makes it a more fun show. And I think, based on the growth we've been seeing in the last couple months, the people also appreciate that. So, do I want to change anything? Probably not. But we'll see what happens after my vision quest is done.
Yeah.
You and I talked a little bit about this, I think last time we recorded, maybe two times ago. There are things that I would like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That I generally don't feel belong in any show that I do. But you made a fairly valid argument that maybe this is the right place to do it. So we'll see. I'll test it out and see how it goes.
Good. Cause so, I hope after 200 episodes, I hope you're not bored with the podcast. And I always want to change it up, and I always want to have both of us engaged and not just walking through podcasts.
If there's one show that I've never been bored of, it's this show, because I feel like every show is a little different.
Okay, good. I'm just saying, like, you're talking about your love of math. I'm dead serious. If you wanted to do an entire episode on your love of math and your discovery of math, bring it on, because this is the place to do it. It's not nerdy comics. It's not nerdy movies. It's whatever we feel like is nerdy.
That's true.
And math can be nerdy, and math can be fun, and I think we would make it entertaining. Or at least you would have a one to grow on moment as a listener.
Well, and one thing you made me realize...
offer them information.
One thing you made me realize is that, if I have something really oddball that I want to talk about, maybe people want to listen to that oddball thing that I want to talk about, because they listen to the garbage that we talk about now, so maybe they will.
But maybe you're not alone. That would be my point.
Well, that's true.
Your love of math, guess what? There might be umpteen listeners that all of a sudden you're sparking their interest to either become interested in math, or they have the same interest, just like our D&D conversation, but they don't have anyone to talk about it with.
Very true. Actually, I had a really good back and forth on Twitter with Max Visaggio.
Nice.
She made a comment. What was she talking about? She was talking about She was talking about like time. What is time? Like, what does time mean? And she had this long thread, and I replied to it because it was really weird. I saw the thread pop up, and you weren't included in this. But I had included, I wish I can go back to that. I can't remember who it was. I know Sparky was in that conversation, and Ronnie was in it, and we have a listener who's actually a real life physicist.
Ooh.
I believe in the UK.
Ooh,
and,
nice.
And so I was like, hey, you're a physicist, Sparky and Ronnie, you're into weird shit. Let me throw this weird idea out at you. Oh, and Jay. Leigh Jeving was in it as well. I mean, Jay Loving. Wrong person, sorry.
Okay.
They're not related. And so I threw this out there, and they commented on what I had to say. But then, a couple days ago I'm on Twitter, and Max Visaggio starts, telling this thing about time, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And I don't normally comment on creators' posts. I'll like them or retweet them, but I don't normally comment. But I felt like I had to comment because I had the exact thought that she had the last couple months. And we had a very cool discussion afterwards. Matter of fact, I might have Mags on a show and not talk about comics at all.
Yes.
We'll see. Max is brilliant, by the way. I don't know people listening how familiar they are with Max Vantaggio. She's brilliant. I think she goes by she. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure she does. She's brilliant. She does stuff for Black Mask and Volt and Valiant, and she does stuff for DC. Really fantastic.
Yeah, quite the original voice.
Very much so. Very much so. So we'll see. There might be some new and extremely off the wall topics. You think we're off the wall right now? Just you wait till I get back from my Vision Quest.
Yeah.
And it might get a little interesting.
We like it. I think we got to keep it interesting.
You know what I think, Nick? I think you just don't want me to do another podcast. I think you just want me to talk to you all the time. That's what I think.
That's my secret plan.
I'm just kidding. I don't think that. Yeah, I think, you know, it's important, right? Like, we all have oddball interests sometimes that pop up.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people don't have a platform to discuss these things. And I have a platform. My thing is, I don't know if my platform is the right place to do it. You seem to think that maybe it is. So we'll see.
Hey, it's an open door here. You know, there's just a few topics I do not care to discuss. So, and we've always avoided those. So mm-hmm. I think the rest is open season.
Yes. Yes. And I think the listeners that we've garnered over the last couple of years, not just on this show, but on all the other shows, are very open-minded.
For sure.
And even when they're close-minded about certain things, they're willing to give certain other opinions a chance. So we'll see.
Yeah, they'll at least engage in discourse, which is a great thing.
Which I'm great for, right? And I think that's one problem on Twitter, for example. I don't have very many problems with Twitter at all. But the one thing that I notice is that, like, even if somebody disagrees with what I'm saying, they're able to convey their viewpoint in a way that I can understand. And even if we disagree, we can agree to disagree, right? And we can have a valid discussion. I think it's important.
Yeah, subtlety gets lost on Twitter, but if you're just stating an opinion or stating facts, it's pretty easy to read.
Very true. So everyone listening to this show, thank you for hanging out with us for however long.
For sure.
I know there's many new listeners over the last, I would say, month or two. But if you've been listening since 2015, then you're both amazing. New and old, you're all amazing. I'm glad that even just one person listens. Much less a couple thousand. So thank you to everybody on that. You want to wrap this up?
Yeah, I would have never thought that it would have lasted this long. That's for sure.
I mean, 4 years is a long time.
It is a long time.
It's a very long time.
And I gotta say, I'm still just as energized as I was the first time we had the first episode and everyone was a little tipsy and we brought a lot of different viewpoints to that first episode, and then people started to remove themselves, and we called it down just to us two, with an occasional guest appearance by people, which is always fun.
For sure. Yeah, this show is very different now than it was 4 years ago. And I think that's good. I think that's one of the reasons why you and I are still excited to do this show.
Yeah, it's always growing, but it has to grow with us. But sure. I mean, I love when the audience, if an audience member wants us to go down different tangents and different roads, feel free, because this, I would love to have more interaction with listeners. I would love it, absolutely. So could we talk about any topic? Sure. So I think we're pretty open to discussing anything that people would want us to talk about.
Yep. Yeah, I even saw one comment. Let me find this comment. To all my 0.75 average followers, which, by the way, that's funny. Go ask Geekvine and Nick Wetmore a tough question, not about comic books. Listen, Nick and I love comic books. You can ask us comic book questions.
For sure. Why do you think whenever you walk away from the microphone, all I do is update people on what I'm reading?
Yep. Listen, this show, look, Nick and I are on the show. We host the show. We talk all the bullshit on the show. But this show is just about, just as much about people listening as it is about us talking on it. And I've talked to Nick about this before privately. 90% of the time, maybe even higher, 99% of the time, I get comments and questions sent to me directly that are meant for the show. You should tech Nick Wetmore on that. Send Nick a DM. Because this show is the Nerdy Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore. Oof. My name is not on there.
Oh, God. Put it on there.
My name is not on there. It's the Nerdy Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore. Look at the logo. You'll see Nick's name on there. You won't see my name. No, I just made that up. There's no names on it.
Yes, please don't do that. Oh, my God.
Terrible. Anyways, but yeah, thank you for everyone listening to the show. Obviously, we don't make any money on this. And to be honest, I don't give a shit about making money on the show because I just this is my therapy session for the week. And I want to thank you, Nick, because you're one of the most fun co-hosts that I have. Not to demean anybody else that I've ever podcasted with. But I feel very comfortable talking to you. And I think that kind of comes off in the end product.
That's why it's a comfy couch.
Goddamn right.
Or a nerdy hammock.
A nerdy hammock.
This is therapy. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people find it fun and just a tickle fight.
Amen. All right, let's wrap this up.
All right.
This has been the Nerdy Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore. And sometimes me, whoever I am. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. Thank you for listening. We will catch you next week.